Do you live in the middle of nowhere and feel separated from the church?
Yeah, that's me.
Or do you think the church is out of touch?
Absolutely.
Then this podcast is for you. Coming to you from the Diocese of Sioux City.
What? Where the hell is Sioux City?
Welcome to Outcast Catholic with your hosts, Father Shane Demon and Father Travis Crotty.
Everyone, welcome back to Outcast Catholic. I'm Father Travis Crotty.
And I'm Father Shane Demon.
Father Shane, it's good to be talking to you.
You too.
Still via, you know, our video call situation here, but we'll be able to see each other soon. Yeah. Tag teaming ordination in Sioux City coming up soon.
Yeah, and hopefully over throughout the summer, you know, our paths will cross a little bit more with seminarian events.
Perhaps. We'll see what happens.
We're going to try.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
going to try. Wherever we find ourselves. Well, you know, as we do often, back-to-back episodes, but we've been talking a lot about our different travels and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I went to ordinations, but then I also just did a little recon mission to Estes Park in Denver in preparation for Quest 2023.
Ooh.
The vocations office, you know, masculine holiness adventure thing started by Father Shane Demon in 2018 or whatever.
Climbing new heights.
Yeah.
In your union with the Lord.
My favorite was the conversations that we had about the title of this. It was a lot of discussions. I remember I was part of it, you know, what the name is for this event that we decided to call Quest.
Yeah, I remember those very vividly. We were chatting with ideas. Nothing got solidified. I texted you one night, and I think you were clearly hanging out with a friend. And I said, hey, I got to get this mailing out. We got to get a title. What do you think about this? And I remember going back for a few text messages, and then it was just crickets. And I was like, okay. Travis is done. He's not interested in this conversation. I'm not going to bother him anymore tonight.
Oh, man.
He's obviously engaged in his friendship. So.
I did not remember this, so I'm sorry to kind of, you know, like peel back the wound there.
No, it's not a wound. There's no core wound that I think needs to be brought to a healing retreat or anything. I just remember, like, I ended up settling on Quest because you were just done with done with the creative speculation. So
that's
how we landed on the title, The Quest.
And it's stuck. It's stuck. It's good. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to take this trip back out to Estes Park with some young men from the diocese, but I had never been there because the trip you took out there in the past was my first year of priesthood. And then I had this like 2-year hiatus where I thought I wouldn't be working with seminarians anymore. And then boom, right back at it with the vocations office work. So exciting, but I got to experience, for all those Denver folks listening, I don't know if there are, wonderful. I got to experience both aspects of Colorado traffic that are very difficult to deal with. One is just highway traffic in Denver. Mm-hmm. It's brutal. Have you experienced that recently at all?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's been that way for the past like decade, 15 years, just like more and more people keep moving there. Too many cars for the roads, you know, not enough infrastructure for it. But so I got to experience that. But then I got to experience mountain roads during vacation season, which are jam-packed with cars. And if there's a slow person, you go 40 miles an hour the whole time because you don't get to hit one of those little, like, slow people pull off into this lane thing for a long time.
Yeah, the passing lanes.
So I drive to Omaha often, Sioux Falls often, those kind of hour-and-a-half drive from Sioux City. An hour and a half on 29 is so smooth. And you listen to podcasts and music, you know, like, pray the rosary or talk on the phone. It's just, it's done. It's so quick. Sometimes you kind of wonder if you just kind of slept through it because it's so smooth. Sometimes you don't have to get out of the lane. That hour and a half drive from the city of Denver into the mountains felt like 4 hours. It's just like bumper to bumper traffic and then mountain traffic. But we made it. It was good. Colorado is about the perfect climate right now. Mm-hmm. So folks, if you just need to go on a fast vacation, just go to Colorado right now because it's not humid. It's not getting that hot yet. It's still really perfect. So I just really need you to know about that.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Father.
You're welcome.
And I'm sure it's going to make you appreciate Midwest traffic even more coming home from the great metropolitan area of Denver.
I said this when I lived there in Denver, and I realized it in a true way. I said, I will not miss this traffic. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back into Sioux City today, it was fulfilled in my, you know, seeing it,
good,
which was wonderful. Father Shane, my travels have recently also took me. I went to New Ulm, Minnesota, to the
Great
Diocese of New Ulm, Minnesota, home of Shell's Brewery and Grainville Premium. I didn't get to go, unfortunately, because I was at this retreat kind of conference thing with Communion Liberation, the fraternity exercises that I was invited to attend. Mm-hmm. And the fraternity exercises, There's a cool kind of unifying principle around the whole world with this movement we've talked about that was founded and is still run out of Italy in Milan. Every year in April in Rimini, there is a conference with Communi Liberation. And at that kind of event of gathering together, there's a series of kind of retreat conference talks that are given. And last year and this year was Father Mauro Lepori, a Trappist Italian monk who was close to the movement. So he gave these talks, and he really wanted to focus in on the theological virtue of faith. It was really interesting. It was helpful. They were long sessions with a man sitting. We watched the video, and it had been translated. So you're watching an Italian speaking, reading from these sheets of paper, and then somebody was speaking English. So it was a little hard to pay attention to. And they were long. They were like over an hour.
Okay.
A lot of attention took, which I don't have a lot of that. So it was good. But it was interesting, his invitation for us to consider faith and the discussion that kind of followed throughout the retreat weekend with the different folks who were there. This idea of kind of growing in faith, practicing this virtue of faith, but then also a lack of faith and a struggle to believe and trying to understand all of that. And the discussions just really helped me understand, and especially working with young people, working with high school students, there is such, and you said it right before we started recording, Father Shane, there is a lack of faith, but even bigger seems to be a lack of understanding what this thing about what faith is. You know, high school kids all the time, they just say, well, I just want to grow in my faith. Kind of this vague idea of kind of my relationship with God, you know? Or I'm just not very strong in my faith, you know, or I want a better faith life, you know? And I always struggle with those because they seem so vague and they don't ever, it's like, what does that mean? What are you talking about? Like, what do you actually want to grow in? Like, where are you struggling to believe? What are you struggling to believe? And so I think a lot of our listeners, right, this theme of feeling outcast, this might be like one of the most kind of fundamental experiences of feeling outcast, is that there's something being offered by the church, offered by God, having revealed himself through the scriptures, through the tradition that we try to live every Sunday, you know, at liturgy, as we try to live in our families, this idea of a relationship with God and a belief in him, this faith that we have in Christ, what that even is and how we can grow in that, right? There was a number of these these different thoughts, these different reflections that Father Lepori had that helped me understand for myself, I think, in a fuller way, what it actually looks like to grow in faith and what my role is insofar as faith is a gift. But Father, I know that you, with your experience of studying Newman and his takes on what faith is, I'm curious to hear just like, first of all, maybe to try to unpack this for people and for me too. What is faith? When we're talking about that, we're talking about this virtue. We're talking about this gift.
So I think one of the easiest starting points would be the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So to have faith in something is to kind of make an intellectual assent, if you will. There's an act of the will which moves the mind to agree that this is true, this is reliable. And yet when you say that, people say, well, I want to grow in my, sorry, the microphone's falling over here. When the people say, I want to grow in my faith, I think they're usually referring to, I really want to understand more.
Yeah.
I want to kind of have a matrix of the truths of the faith and how it all works together and how it makes sense for my life, right?
Yeah, it has to, yeah, I need it to have something to do with my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we talk about having faith, we're not just talking about having faith in truths as if we're having faith in the principles of mathematics, right? It's not just the content or the dogmatic statements of the faith, okay? Yes, it has a content, but faith is ultimately rooted in a person. Is God himself reliable? And as the First Vatican Council taught in the 19th century, yes, God himself is reliable. In fact, he's the only one who is most reliable. Faith, by definition, cannot err. because it's God himself who is truth itself, who has revealed himself to us, all right? Now, some people find that a bit circular to say, well, if I'm supposed to have faith in a God who cannot err because he's truth itself, well, that just seems to kind of, you know, bait the question that God revealed himself and he's true, so you have to believe him because he's true. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, but for a God to reveal himself, for our Lord to reveal himself, there isn't anything more substantive, there isn't anything more foundational in which you could put your commitment of trust. And that act of faith is entirely encompassing. Mm-hmm. It's not just an intellectual enterprise of the mind. It captures the heart. It captures the emotion. It gets very, very physical, particularly if we're facing disease or sickness, to say, can I really abandon myself and surrender myself in a complete surrender of trusting faith in the Lord when every aspect of my life, my body, my emotions, my mental state, all of that is hoping and trusting in the truthfulness of God, that he actually is going to sustain me and that he does care for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's an obscurity to that as well, right? Like if we could actually see the future at every single moment, if we could see God at every single moment, well, then we really wouldn't need faith.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be just talking to each other as you and I are right now, right?
Or comprehend, too, that
with,
kind of
with
idea.
With evidence of things that we can see with our eyes and comprehend as you see everything as well, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that's that Augustine line, right, where he's like, if it's comprehended, it's not God, because there's that desire for us to comprehend. So sorry, finish that thought you were saying. I wasn't trying to interrupt there, but...
Well, no, I was just saying that there is this element of truthfulness that brings light. It brings security. It brings guidance. Mm-hmm. I mean, faith really is the bright light, the bright beacon of hope shining in the world. And yet at the same time, there is this obscurity that we're never going to comprehend the magnitude of God himself.
Yeah.
He does invite us to have a foretaste of sharing in his divine life, especially through the grace of the sacraments now, and through an intimate, unceasing union with the Trinity in prayer, all of that which is to be deepened in the experience of heaven. But the faith that leads us there is precisely that we haven't yet arrived, and God still remains obscure from our full vision until we see the beatific vision face to face with the Trinity before us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this rich dichotomy in which even though faith is obscure and requires us to walk forward in a great self-abandonment of hope, it also brings great clarity, illuminating the mind and the heart to know what the truths are of a Lord who's already revealed himself and who's redeemed us on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Here's the rub, though, I think, of people's experience, is that it feels like some people just have this thing called faith that you just beautifully unpacked for us. Some people have this clarity. Some people have this kind of like hopeful assent that says, even though I don't fully understand it, he's revealed himself. I've met him. I'm meeting him. I'm seeking a deeper understanding, right? I have like my reason is building on this faith, is helping unpack this faith. God is continuing to meet me, even though in this obscurity, he's continuing to give me light through the sacraments and the scriptures and like through this way of meeting me. But it seems like there are people who that just clicks with, and then there are people who it just doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. So folks who feel like they're doubting their faith, quote unquote, or struggling in their faith, right? It just so often seems like I either have it or I don't. And then there's this kind of, when you see somebody who seems to have it, who just grasps this more, right? There might be a jealousy or there might be a cynicism, right? The jealousy might be like, well, how could I ever get to that level of faith, that level of trust, that level of hope, that level of living with this kind of expectation that God is going to show up, like that, or the cynicism that says like, well, is that even real in the first place? Mm-hmm. Someone asked a really important question at this retreat when we were having these kind of small groups and unpacking it, and how Father Lepre was really leaning into the fact that faith is a gift and it's something to be received, right? It's not something that we work harder to like make more of or something. If we just work hard enough, we'll get more of this thing called faith. But somebody asked the question in this small group, they said, or they just kind of offered their experience. They said, because a relationship with God can be accepted or rejected, right? I can accept this gift that's being given to me or reject it. This person who was there said, it sometimes feels like he's not real. Like if he was real, I wouldn't be able to reject him, right? That kind of irresistible grace that we hear about with Calvin sometimes and different strains of Protestantism. So the point that was brought up that was so helpful that I think evokes in us, like, where is this faith kind of at and how do we experience more of it? How do we have more of it? Somebody responded and said, even that question, you need to ask yourself, where is that coming from? Where is that desire to understand that even coming from, right? But I think what I took away the most from this particular conference about this gift of faith is that it is a gift. It's not something I just make more of, I cook up more of, that I try harder and I'll just have more faith, right? Willpower Christianity, as Bishop Herman often talks about in St. Louis. He said it never works. Willpower Christianity, I'm just going to will myself, right? And that's often, in my experience of seminary, I think so many seminarians is realizing that my relationship with God cannot be one of just trying harder, a Pelagianism, if you will. So what was offered to us was this idea that our move, as Father Giussani always talks about, is to be a beggar in front of Christ and to be attentive to the space in my life where I can expect to meet him, right? Mm-hmm. So often it's not that we lack faith, it's actually we lack an attentiveness to how God is working in my life, right? As you recently spoke of on our podcast, Father Shane, when you were talking about being attentive to how God was acting, right, in St. Joseph, Missouri, in the context of that ordination, you had an attentiveness toward it, but you also had an attentiveness in the relationships of those people that you talked to of how God was meeting them. And your attentiveness toward God, who wants to meet us, who's giving us this gift of understanding, of coming to know him more fully, you were putting in the work of being attentive to this space where God wants to meet you.
Right.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that's what our work is. How do I grow in my faith? Well, I grow in an attentiveness of God's presence in my life. I grow in an attentiveness to actually trying to see where he's at and how he's working. That starts with, I have to be attentive to myself, be attentive to like what I want, what I need, where I'm lacking, right? My own kind of selfishness, my own sinfulness that might be getting in the way of him being in my life. But it's not just this experience of some people have this thing called faith and some people just don't, right? It's a gift that we receive, the ability to understand and to know God.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It is something that we have to receive. This isn't just humanly manufactured, because it is a divine heavenly virtue. It's a theological virtue, right? It's a grace to be able to live in a state of divine faith. But then the work that you speak about, Newman would call this antecedent dispositions, okay? Which is just a really fancy way of saying, what are the attitudes and the preparations for faith that we bring to the table? If you're coming to faith with a level of cynicism and jadedness that God can't be real, he's not going to reveal himself to me, well then, yeah, you're not probably going to be that attentive to the little subtle moments where his graces are constantly calling you into deeper relationship. Unfortunately, there are people in this world who, through sometimes circumstances well beyond their control, whether that could be trauma, natural disasters, abuse that they've suffered at the hands of others, they can really start to question, where is the goodness in this world? And why don't I seem to be able to be worthy of any goodness of this world because of all the harm that's been done to me? And in those circumstances, I would say that it is precisely in the harm, it's precisely in the rock bottom feelings of forgetfulness that the Lord actually wants to show how good he is and how loving he is to meet us there. Not wishing these people these terrible experiences, but being able to kind of redeem someone out of those experiences. I think it's also true that for someone who just doesn't have the attentiveness that you speak of, if they're just going through life wanting to be entertained, if they're going through life just wanting to live for this world, if they don't have their eye on some transcendental truths beyond the here and now and the busyness of everyday life, it's going to be hard to grow in faith, because one's going to be missing the call to relationship and the little graces that can be presented to us on a daily basis. But even it's more of a keeping one's focus so close and so downtrodden on the things of this world that we actually don't lift our gaze, our eyes, up into something that's got a broader horizon towards the future, to see that I actually have faith in something that's bigger and broader than me and bigger and broader than the current situation that I find myself in. To take on that imaginative vision of a horizon that's bigger than our current circumstances, if we don't allow ourselves to imaginatively step into that, I think it's going to be really hard for God to step into our lives and grow that virtue of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think just lastly, to remember for all of us that sometimes we don't, often, a lot of the time, myself included, don't feel, right, like my faith is like alive or something, right? Sometimes, and that's get into Ignatian spirituality, right? Why am I in desolation? Why am I in consolation, right? Yeah, maybe it's my own forgetfulness, my own sinfulness, when I turn away from God and when I stay focused on things not of Him, that I forget Him. But to remember that we have been called from our baptism objectively and given this gift of faith objectively. Like, God gives Himself to us and allows us to know Him partially, right? But allows us to grow deeper and deeper into a real relationship of knowledge and love with Him. Like, it's really possible. And we can look to the sacraments, and this is where, praise God for our Catholic faith and tradition, that we have these objective sacraments to say that even when I'm not feeling it, I can say, I was baptized, and I've received these gifts. God has promised me these. And if I stay attentive and in relationship to what He wants to give me, He's given them to me. He is giving them to me. I can be confident of that, even if I'm not feeling that. And the objectivity of the Eucharist, the objectivity of our confirmation, the objectivity of what confession actually is, and bring me back in a right relationship with God, even if I'm not feeling, right? Kind of like we're getting up into that Steubenville conference season. So like the warm, fuzzy feelings of God's presence. Even if I'm not feeling that all the time, or if things don't feel like they're clicking as much, I can say, no, I have received a promise that God will reveal Himself to me. And then I can be sure that He is. So then my work doesn't need to be one of doubting His presence, but one of looking for where He's trying to show Himself present in my life.
Yeah. That's a great attitude to bring to the everyday lived experience of faith, to not have to somehow test God. You know, Scripture says God reveals to those who test Him not, right? if you're looking for God to disprove His fidelity, well, that's going to be a hard road. But if you're bringing an attitude that says, I'm going to allow myself an imaginative vision and a capacity in my soul to let God consistently nurture my faith, and bring him and draw me closer into union with Him, well, then I think you're going to find a lot of traction.
Good.
Good thoughts, Father.
Yeah, thanks, Father Shane. So, friends, I think it's just we especially enter these summer months and maybe have a little bit more time and space to think about some of these things, to invite God to be present in our life and to practice that, you know, particular experience of awareness of how He's wanting to meet us in the beauty around us and the people that we interact with this summer. So everyone, God bless, and hopefully grow in that gift of faith.
Thanks for tuning in. Send your questions and comments to outcastcatholic@gmail.com. Catch you next time, and God bless.